Please turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for your precious word. And Lord, may we as Cooper Baptist Church rally around you, Lord Jesus, and your word. And Lord, not rally around anyone else or any other thing, but Lord, to draw close to you and to believe your word and apply it to our hearts and lives. And Lord, I ask you'll speak through this dust. I'm nothing without you. Lord, may the families of Cooper Baptist Church be encouraged today through your word. Lord, may you receive all glory and honor, because only you deserve it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I told Alicia that I was going to preach this morning and teach on the difference between men and women. I just wanted to give her fair warning, because she's not here today. She went with my daddy. Daddy is preaching homecoming at Fellowship Baptist Church, where our son Lewis is leading music. And so she got a free ride. Got to be with our son as he leads worship and listen to my daddy preach homecoming and get a big meal on to boot. So that's where Alicia and Rebecca are today. And I will try not to starve to death while they're gone. But anyway, so I'm speaking this morning on the differences between men and women. She's not here, but I know that none of y'all will ever tell her what I said about her. Y'all will just ask her, did she hear about it? I know how many of you are, okay? We're in a series of messages encouraging the family. Today it's entitled, "We Are Different." Men and women are different. And when we talk about encouraging the family to understand the differences between men and women, is very important. And I'm taking a class on Monday evenings at the Baptist building in Ellick and on counseling. And a big portion of this is on marriage counseling, so I'm getting lots of ammunition to use on you through this class. Okay? So encouraging the family, and one thing I want to say first and foremost, and I'm going to keep telling you this, men and women, husbands and wives, no one or nothing should come between you and your spouse. The Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost in both of your lives, and then your spouse, your husband or your wife, is the most important and the closest person on this earth to you. Not your mother, not your mother-in-law, not a fishing buddy or a shopping partner, but your spouse should be the closest person to you in your life. I'm going to keep telling you that. Okay? But we are different. And God created us to be different. And we see in our text this morning that God created man from dust, but He created woman from the man. And now men now are birthed from women. But the first woman came from a man, took his rib and formed and created Eve. And he said, he named all the other animals, and then his helper, he said, "Wow, man, woman. Thank you, Lord. Wow, man. She's my woman, she's my wife." And how the two should become one flesh. Now, if I have married you, some of this may be redundant. You've heard it before. Whenever I talk with you, the times before I would marry you as couples, but it doesn't hurt to go through this, okay? We are different, and we are yet to become one in a marriage. Now, God created male and female. In chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." So God created male and female. And for the human race to procreate, we are to marry male and females together. It does not matter what our president may think. It does not matter what Congress may pass or what new law the Supreme Court comes out with. Instead of upholding the law, they make new laws. But God's law is one man and one woman in marriage to death do us part. That's God's law. That's God's way of doing it. Now, there's men in the Old Testament who had more than one wife, but that's not God's plan. God's plan was one man and one woman to death do us part. And He created male and female and brought the two together and brought woman to man for marriage, for family. And they both became one flesh. Now, the entertainment industry in which we live today, entertainment, will push homosexuality down your throat and down your children's throat. You watch the television shows, even the most innocent shows that you may watch today in entertainment, the man in the family, if there is a man in the family, he's dumb. And then it depends on what kind of man he is, if he's dumber or not. So the man in the home is dumb in entertainment. And then there'll always be a homosexual in there, or a bunch of them, in this television show, whatever entertainment that we have today. So it is shoved down our throat, the Congress and everyone's trying to shove it down our throat, but God said one man and one woman. He created Adam and Eve, and not Adam and Steve, and that's what God says about it, okay? So, male and female. And let me tell you something, children and youth, your daddy is not dumb. It may be a laughing matter on television, but your daddy and your grandpa, they are not dumb. They work hard, and they love you, and they love your mama. And they're not dumb. Okay? He created male and female. And we were created in the image of God, it says, but with differences. We are created in the image of God. God is three. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in just a little bit, we're going to look at, we're also made of three parts. We have different personalities. Men and women are different, and we are different for a reason. The woman brings to the marriage all the things how a woman thinks and her emotions and her love. And the man brings to the marriage decision making and work and strength to the marriage. They both need each other. Okay? So we are created different. And then when you think of all the mixed personalities that we have, you know, it sometimes it can cause fire in the marriage. Sometimes it can cause great love, but we're different for a reason. So there are some books that have been written about the differences between men and women. One is men are blue and women are pink. Men are rough and gruff. And I was at a meeting Tuesday night. That was the Sunday school meeting. Okay, training. Fish fry, it was delicious. Well, the pastors and directors stayed in a little group. That's one I was in. And it was all men in there. Okay? And I was sitting there, we had eaten a big meal, and the speaker was talking, and he started making weird noises. And then all the men around me making noises. Women, you wouldn't. I was sitting there thinking, I knew I was going to preach on this, and I started thinking about all of us men in there and how bad it may have sounded to women. Brother Dan was just right beside me. It was bad. It was bad. And, you know, how men are, and yet women are attracted to us, it says. Even with all the things that men, we sweat, we stink, we make noises. Women do too, by the way, but anyway. I was trying to listen to that man teach, but there was about 20 men in there making noises. Okay? Women that are pink, they're pink, the color's pink, delicate, feminine, make decisions from emotions. Men, from just give me a decision to make, I'll make it. Okay? The book about also written that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. You see, on Mars, the Martians, whenever a problem would come, a Martian would go to a fellow Martian and say, this is my problem. And this fellow Martian say, this is what you got to do. Dun, dun, dun. And they both agree and go on about their business. They made a decision and that's it. But on Venus, I have this problem. And they don't make decisions. They just come together and say, let me tell you about my problem, and I'll tell you about mine, and we'll cry together, and we'll just feel better when it's all over. So when a person from Venus comes to someone from Mars and says, I have this problem, the man from Mars says, well, let's do this, this, this. And she says, I just wanted you to hear me. We're different. Okay? There's also a book, men are like waffles and women are like spaghetti. Men are like waffles because we have compartments. We think in compartments. I'm in this compartment. That's why a men's Sunday school class can be in the compartment of hunting and fishing and fixing world problems. And then they switch from that compartment to, let's study the lesson now. Men can do that. Women, though, that's spaghetti. Everything's attached and emotions and it's all connected. Men are like, hey, I'm in this compartment. Why does it matter how I've treated you all day? Let's do this. Okay? Women's spaghetti. All of it's connected. We can be in a compartment, men can, and make a decision. Sometimes some of you may come to me, your pastor, And here I am trying to teach both waffle men and spaghetti women. Okay? You may come to me with a problem, and I'm listening, and I'm trying to feel what you're saying, but my compartment may be I'm fixing to preach in less than 30 minutes to a group of people, and I'm in that compartment. It ain't that I don't care about you and I don't love you. I'm just not in that compartment yet. I'm not wired that way. No man is. Okay? We're different. There's also a book, Men Are Like Clams and Women Are Like Crowbars. Men can speak, I think, around 15,000 words a day. Women, 50,000. Now, at the end of the day, the man's done spoke 14,997 words, and he's only got three left. She speaks 25,000, comes home, she's got 25,000 more. Honey, let me tell you this, 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 and this, and this. What do you think? Well, let me tell you this, what happened to this, and this happened, and she said this, and that happened. What do you think?
I don't know.
That's three. I mean, We got to conserve what we say. We got a few words left. Okay? See the difference? But when you know you're different and realize the differences, then you can work on the differences. Amen? We were created different. Men are like light switches. Women are like crock pots. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. We're different. Men thrive. Listen, women, this is important. Men thrive on respect. We know if we are respected or not. We know if we're just being tolerated or not. We thrive on respect. We can't help it. That's how we're made. Men, listen to me. Women thrive on love. They need love. We need respect. They need love. So let's work on it. Work on it together. We're created in the image of God, but with differences. He created man and He created woman for the two to come together for procreation, for marriage. Our being is made up of body, soul, and spirit. So when it says, and Jesus said this in the New Testament, He said that the two, verse 24. Therefore a man, I'm in chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. One flesh. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. So when we become one flesh, man, when you become one flesh with your wife, you need to try to understand her, how she thinks, how she feels. Woman, you need to try to understand your husband, how he thinks, how he feels. He don't feel much, by the way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whole spirit, soul, and body. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we give an account. Verse 12. I read the wrong verse, sorry. Verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Then we come to that verse I just read. Nothing's hidden from God. His word pierces our very heart and even divides soul and spirit and compares it to a bone and marrow, and science cannot separate the two, by the way. They're so closely connected. But we're made up of these parts. And we're body, soul, and spirit. So for a man and a woman to become one flesh, we must become one body, soul, and spirit. Our body, our physical body. That's sometimes in Scripture it's referred to as the flesh. The flesh is, we're constantly at battle with the flesh. We have wants and desires that are ungodly, and so our soul and our spirit must control, be self-controlled, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and control the flesh. It's constantly at war with our soul and spirit. So one flesh, we come together as flesh and consummate a marriage, and we become one flesh, and even our flesh, that includes our brain. Our brain can get out of whack, just like you can get a cold or become sick or become terminally ill. Our brains can do the same. It's just flesh. Our brain is like a computer program. If you put in bad stuff, you're going to remember bad stuff. If you put in good stuff, you will remember good stuff. That's why it's so important for you to bring your children to Bible drill, because they are placing God's Word in that computer program of their brain. Okay? So it's like a computer program. We remember good and bad things. We remember what people say to us or have done to us or nasty things you may have looked at, and it's there in your brain. So our soul and spirit, when those habits or old nature crop up, we must have self-control, which is God the Holy Spirit's strength to overcome our brains. And yet they can get sick too. Our brains can become sick. You may hear of someone doing something, harming themselves or something, and you know, I can relate to it like a diabetic. A severe diabetic, sometimes they will say something or do something or just pass out on you. Why? Because that blood sugar affects your brain. Okay? That's just one simple illustration of our brains and how it can be affected. So we are to become one in flesh and help one another, so that when temptation does come, it does come. You can overcome because you're one flesh. And our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Being connected. Your wife is an emotional being. You got to connect to that. Got to connect to her. And our mind and will, knowing each other's thoughts and understanding one another. And then we're spirit. The Bible tells you and I, do not be unequally yoked. Do not let a liberal somebody tell you, that's not meaning don't marry an unbeliever. For you to be one flesh, body, soul, and spirit, you better marry someone that believes the same way you believe. Do not be unequally yoked. Be one spirit. One flesh. Worship together. Study God's Word. Pray together. Become one spirit. Now, we all have an individual, personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Amen? But a husband and wife, that's your prayer partner. That's your prayer partner. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, we're going to pick up in verse 26. Now I want to make this point, okay, in that we are different. God created us to be different. And when you add different personalities with these differences between men and women, I mean, it's an amazing thing how we can live together or worship together. Or be a family, a church family, or a regular family. It's an amazing thing. You see, we need God, don't we? We need His help. But Galatians chapter 3, beginning verse 26, says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." You're all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You better be baptized in Jesus. If you're not baptized in Jesus, you're not saved. And that word means to be immersed. It don't mean water. It means your life needs to be in Christ Jesus. This shows what happened. Be immersed in Jesus Christ and put on Christ. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free." Now there are different cultures, different tribes. Why does it say in Revelation that many tongues and tribes are going to worship God together? We're different. There are different cultures and different tribes. Even in the end of eternity, in eternity, we're going to be different. We're all going to be praising God together. But when it comes to this, we're all the same. But what is he talking about? There's not Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. But you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is speaking of salvation. Do not let a worldly heresy come to you and say that there's no difference between a man and a woman. If you don't believe that there's no difference between a man and a woman, look at each other. We're different. But when it comes to faith in Jesus Christ, and being born again and receiving Christ, we all come to Christ the same way, and that is through His blood, by faith in His sacrifice, and falling on the grace of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That is the only way a male can be saved. That's the only way a female can come, is through Christ. So when it comes to salvation, there's no difference. We, as a church, submit to one another in the fear of God. But we are different. We are different. When it comes to Jesus and salvation, you got to come to the cross by faith. If you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, I'll be here to help anyone I can. Won't you come this morning? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for the families of Cooper Baptist Church. the men and women, the spiritual elders, the spiritual mamas and daddies that we have in the families that make up Cooper Baptist Church. God, may we rally around your word and what your word says. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would woo people unto yourself. May we fall on your grace today and place our faith in the shed blood of Jesus for forgiveness of sins. And may you receive all glory. In Jesus' name, amen.